everybody. Welcome to episode 46 of the Fundamentally Sound Podcast. After a crazy couple weeks with the holidays and everything like that, it is Reeks from Barstool Sports and Ben Bruss back together. As I mentioned in the show on Thursday night or Friday, whenever you listen to it, the plan going forward is, as long as our schedules work out, Ben and I will record every Sunday, and then I will probably either do by myself or with a guest on Thursday. I think I have Andy Katz lined up this week, working on that to talk like the 3-on-3 and obviously general state of college basketball, but that's going on in the future. Present, I have Ben, who has obviously been super busy with his new job. Ben, what's going on, man?
Not too much. I have been glued to the TV. This is the best time of the year, with tomorrow, I guess today when you'll be listening, got the college football playoff. NFC, AFC games, Bills, Jaguars was exactly what everyone had hoped for.
Oh, God. That was – I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I've been kind of tuned out on the NFL this weekend. And it's only because of the basketball – like, the slate for college basketball was loaded this weekend.
Yeah, and getting back to obviously what we focus on with college basketball is, you know, I'm sick of hearing, like, oh, look at the list of all the ranked teams, of teams at losses. Like, to me, like, this happens every year. And it – Or am I crazy? Because I feel like 10 years ago, you go back, this didn't happen as much. But it's common like courtesy nowadays for a ranked team to come into an unranked opponent's home court and lose that game.
I'd say it happens more often now, but nothing like this year. To the fact of, really? how much it's happening.
I'd like to maybe go back and look and compare and contrast.
Well, I mean, this is the first year in, I think it was like 30 years or something like that, I want to say. I forget what the exact year was, but it's a ridiculous amount of time that there is not an undefeated team when the calendar turned to, you know, the next year, January 1. So that, I mean, that says a lot. And obviously, part of that is the growth of, like, preseason tournaments, you know, Maui, Battle for Atlantis, yep. PK80. That plays a little bit of a role in it, but, you know, there's still teams – I mean, teams still get through that. Like, if you get through that, you're typically set to get to the start of conference play.
I mean, I feel like I remember being in middle school, like when I was younger, there used to be, I don't know, in February, 5-6 teams that were undefeated. It was usually one of them was Gonzaga, Duke. It's just different.
You typically would have, like, you'd have 2 to 3, like, high majors undefeated, like, coming into conference play.
And then
Gonzaga, maybe, like, a Missouri Valley team, maybe a A-10 team back in the day when they had, you know, obviously St. Joe's, and then, like, you know, the Xaviers and those guys of the world.
The Horizon League.
Right. Maybe one of those teams who just caught lucky with the non-conference schedule. But I think this weekend kind of summed up how this year is of just – it was a bloodbath yesterday.
Yeah, and is –
Not just yesterday, this weekend, because as we're recording, Michigan State's down 17.
As big of a bloodbath it was yesterday, Michigan State, I'm literally talking myself into, man, they could run the Big Ten. They could be a lock for the Final Four. And then they show that they're just like every other team in college basketball. Yeah. I mean, they're not, but they are.
Right, right. I think that's kind of like – I think there's a little bit of a misconception from, I'll say, the more casual fan or, like, the person trying to be, like, a little – not necessarily hot take, but a little hot takey of, well, no one's good in college basketball this year. And it's true to a degree. But, you know, like, Michigan State, Villanova are still, like, kind of in a tier by themselves, I think.
Yes.
Like, I think everyone agree those are the two best teams. And then, really, like, just, like, pick who you want after that. Like, West Virginia, Virginia, Oklahoma, Arizona State,
Virginia's
even.
Getting enough credit.
Who hasn't?
Virginia.
Yeah, no, I said yesterday, like, I apologize. Like, I was completely wrong about them coming into the year. I had, you know, questions about where is the scoring going to come from, you know, will Ty Jerome kind of take that step? And him, Hall, and Kyle Guy, the trio in the backcourt, are shooting 45% combined.
Does Tony Bennett develop these guys, or does he just recruit well? Is it a combination?
A little bit of both.
Like Anderson, Brogdon,
yeah.
Joe Harris, all on the same team. he gets good guards to like become prospects in his system. Like,
yeah, I mean, Kyle,
and get them to defend. It's, to me, that's crazy.
Well, that's the thing, is they're defending man-to-man, which helps too. Like, Malcolm Brogdon was able to showcase he could defend multiple positions and then also score. What makes this team different, though, is they can attack off of pressure. Like, it's a little bit of a bad example to use West Virginia game because they lost, but they were getting open looks. Like, they just didn't hit the open looks. This team, it's not what we used to see with them, where they'd have a lot of false motion and then, you know, give the ball to Brogdon or Anderson and say, all right, you know, go get a bucket. This, it's like they can play faster pace if they want to.
So I just made up this game in my head. I kind of want to play it. It's not like a made-up game. I just want to do buy or sell. And it doesn't have to be like buy them to win their regular season title or conference. I'm just saying in general.
Do I think they can compete type thing?
I'm just going to say, yeah. Like, okay. Do you think they could potentially make a run, or are you just not with them?
Right.
So I'm going to start with A&M, who's got a lot of injuries, 0-3 in conference to start, I believe.
Yeah, they're 0-3, and they go to Kentucky on Tuesday.
Buying or selling A&M as a tournament team and as someone who can make a run once they get everyone back?
I'm going to buy both. Like, when they are completely – when they have a full roster, they're the best team in the SEC.
They looked awesome in the – I forget where I watched them play. They played Penn State, and they were just
that
awesome.
Was in New York. I think that was in Barclays, New York. Yeah.
Yep. They were awesome then. They were athletic. Even when they lost – I forget who they lost to. Robert Williams was awesome.
They lost to – they lost at Arizona, or that game was in Phoenix, not technically at Arizona. But for all intents and purposes, that was a road game in Arizona.
Yes.
They lost to Arizona.
Yeah, neutral in Arizona, but it was virtually Arizona's
home. It
was
a semi-away game is how Ken Pom classifies it.
Because it was a pick-em, and I picked Arizona, but yeah. I was impressed with how they finished. Dwayne Wilson needs to come back for them. They're lacking.
I mean, that's – so I'm gonna buy them because when they're healthy and not suspended and everything like that, they're a top five team in the country. Like, they have that sort of depth. They have that talent. They can – they're super balanced, right? Like, you can say, okay, we're going to take out Bob Williams – but DJ Hogue can go – like, DJ Hogue was a All-American type player for the first 10, 15 games of the season. Like, Admon Gilder – like, they have guys that can just go score. Like, you can't game plan against one person. Like, you can kind of game plan, like, all right, we're going to double the post and make Williams and Davis pass out of it and try to make them beat you from outside. But they can do that. The thing is, I don't know if they're ever going to have a full roster.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it always seems like something.
It's always something across the board, whether it's, you know, an injury or I think Dwayne Wilson, was he concussed?
I forget what his exact injury was, to be dead honest with you, but, you know.
Either way, they have a full roster. No, I agree. I just at what point, if you start 0-4 in conference,
right?
Does the committee take the bad losses into effect because ask for that?
The committee does factor in players missing for losses.
Right. That helps.
Right, which helps them because it helps everyone that's beating them too, because the committee doesn't factor in players out if you beat them. It's just, we beat Texas A&M. On losses, it counts. So I'm gonna buy them. I still trust them. Even if they drop 0-4, like, the SEC is a really good conference this year. And if you go 500 in there, like, they're still going to be a top 7 seed. That's a dangerous top 7 seed, assuming everyone's healthy.
This is one I just want to ask you because they just got their asses kicked. Alabama, do they make the tournament by or sell?
I am selling Alabama. And okay. I'm pissed I'm saying that because I love Colin Sexton. I like Avery Johnson, too, as a coach. It's just – it's hard because, again, they were playing – like, they had the bunch of new faces come in. They were missing Ingram for a little bit, and it's just now, okay, can they kind of bounce back? But I'll tell you who I'm buying, though, is Auburn.
Yeah. I mean
– they might win the conference.
Despite everything that's gone on, they have to be ranked when the poll comes out.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be ranked in my poll. Like, I'll tell you that. Like, they're one of the 25 best teams in the country. They have one loss, and it came in the third game of the season on a neutral court. Like,
no true road losses, which obviously fares well. I haven't looked at their schedule in the SEC, but to me, the SEC championship winner is going to have three, maybe four losses.
Oh, I think it's going to be more than that.
Really?
Yeah. I think you're going to look at like maybe five.
Maybe a tie for first?
Yeah, yep, 100%, because it's not a round robin. You know, schedules are weird like that, where like Kentucky is Florida and A&M twice. So, you know, if you split there, you know, and let's say Auburn, I forget who Auburn has twice, but let's say they sweep those four but lose to, you know, Kentucky and A&M. Like, it could get weird at the top just because of the unbalanced schedule.
All right, Duke, buy or sell them as a true Final Four contender?
I'm still going to buy them because
I am so selling them. This to me is a year. I think back 3 years ago when they lost to Mercer. I look at this as a team who can lose to anyone because they really do not defend. It's embarrassing on how they don't defend. They should have lost NC State the first time they played them, and justice was served.
Yeah, I mean, their offense is still just so good.
It's
which
so
is
fun
why
to
I'm still buying them is strictly because A, their offense, and B, Marvin Bagley's an absolute monster. Like, we're not talking about how good Marvin Bagley is because of how much of a liability he's kind of been defensively, although he had a really good defensive game yesterday from an individual standpoint against NC State. But I'm still buying them, just banking on the fact I think they're going to figure it out at some point to where I think they're still going to be a Final Four contender, which is what the question is. I'll buy them, but I don't love it.
Okay. I just want to stump you, so, like, on one where you're like, I really don't know. I mean, I feel like I know your answer for Arizona State. They have too much talent. They started 0-2, but yeah. They're playing at Utah tonight, which is a tough place to play. They're 2-point favorites, but that's a very easy game to play.
They had a brutal, brutal opening, having to play at Arizona, and then you have to play at Utah and at Colorado. Like, Titus has talked about it nonstop, is that mountain road trip's the toughest one in the Pac-12. Because you're playing at different elevation. It's, you know, Utah and Colorado are typically both okay teams. So, I'm fine with them.
Yeah, I'm buying them too. I'd like to see them win today, though, and not start 0-3. Because the true value of a good team would be, if you're a legit contender, you have to win a game like this.
Yeah, I agree.
Otherwise, you're just like every other team that goes on that trip.
Right, like if you at least split out of that elevation, you know, the mountain road trip, I think you're like, okay, you're like, we're fine.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona got the job done against Utah, and Utah shot the piss out of the ball in the second half, and they still found a way to get it done. And I think Arizona State needs to do the same tonight. Who else is there on my list? Anyone you're interested in?
I need to make a public apology. Purdue fans, I was wrong.
What?
I'm not buying them as a national title contender, but they are one of the 25 best teams in the country. And I think they are, like, if they don't make the Sweet 16, I would consider it a failure for this team.
100%. I mean, yeah. I think despite Purdue's blunders in the tournament,
like, there's still questions.
Yeah, they definitely have questions, but you can't. I mean, they are just so good offensively that they've been able to get by their blunders.
The schedule has worked out fairly nice for them.
Yeah, Michigan State only once at Michigan State.
Right, and the fact that the Big Ten just sucks. Like, I tweeted this out the other day. Like, how about we just give the Big Ten three or four bids and then just give the rest to the Big 12? Like, let every Big 12 team in.
Well, I think realistically, you're looking at, I don't know, Minnesota. I don't think they're going to make the tournament this year.
No, not with the – I don't feel bad for them because fuck Reggie Lynch and – fuck Patino for kind of that whole situation. Like, I feel bad for the guys that are the good guys on the team, but I don't
like seniors like Nate Mason.
But even then, like, you know, I'm not going to try to pick out who I think is a good guy versus a bad guy on that team. I feel bad for any player on that team that's a good guy. Fuck Minnesota though for that whole Reggie Lynch situation.
Yeah, that whole thing is definitely terrible.
And then you lose Amir Coffey.
Yeah, they lose Amir Coffey to a shoulder injury. I don't see them making the tournament. They were supposed to be one of the top three teams in the Big Ten.
They're supposed to be the top two team.
Right now, it's Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan are the top four.
I say Michigan's been quietly under the radar. I'm doing something for one of the Michigan sites. The guy reached out to me and asked for something, so that'll be coming out this week, Michigan fans. But I'm gonna look a little bit more in depth on them. Imagine how we'd be talking about Michigan if they didn't blow that 20-point lead at Ohio State.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, it's still not a bad loss, quote unquote, like on the resume.
But it's a bad loss because of how it happened.
Yeah, it's just a bad look. But I expected that from Michigan because they don't have a good point guard, like a true they've always had good point guards from Darius Morris to Burke.
But you have a grad transfer, a freshman, and then another guy.
I hear you. It's just not what we're used to with Michigan.
No, I agree. So, but I'm saying that's where the trouble's coming from.
Yep, and that to me is why they would blow a lead like that. I'm not surprised, but they've been pleasantly surprising beyond that. You know, playing at Illinois is no easy feat, and they went in there and they won by 10. They play Purdue next, so we'll really get to see what they're made of. That will be a really fun game to watch just from two styles, two offenses of, you know, Beilein's pretty efficient with his offense. Purdue has shot the ball really well. So
here's a buy or sell. Buy or sell Duncan Robinson as a starter.
Man, he's been disappointing. I took a look at his stats. He shot like 43% as a sophomore, 40% as a junior.
He was really good as a sophomore.
And now he's just regressed, like, just terribly, shooting like 35% this year. Doesn't bring a lot other than volume shooting right now, which is not really how this offense is made. It's made for a guy like that to shoot 40% and really help the team.
But I've been disappointed in his play. You know, it's just
– I mean, at the end of the day, he's a D3 transfer.
Yeah, I people fall through the cracks. It just kind of happens, you know. I was just curious about that. But, yeah, Michigan, for the Big Ten, I mean, if I set the over-under at 4.5 teams in the NCAA tournament, are you betting over-under?
Oh, fuck. Can't believe I'd say this. I'd probably say under. Like,
I agree.
Outside those four.
Because one of those three teams of Michigan – Minnesota and Ohio State, like, unless all three of those just keep winning, like, someone's gonna fall out.
Yeah, but like, I'm completely with you, but who else is there outside of them that could potentially, I'm just saying, potentially make a run?
No one. Like, in the Big Ten, you mean?
Yeah,
no one. Like, Northwestern's not that good.
No, Northwestern, they're done. They just lost to Nebraska. They're out of that conversation.
Right, like, could Nebraska make a run? Like, no. You know, Rutgers, they're better, but they're not making a run.
Maryland's still not dead to me. Maryland, I know they lost to Jackson.
Maryland's the one team to keep an eye on. They do have the win over Butler, but their non-conference sucks.
Yeah, I cannot believe how bad Iowa has been.
Yeah. Ohio State is what everyone thought Iowa was going to be.
I actually thought Iowa would be better than what Ohio State has been this year.
But I'm saying, like, that's kind of like Ohio State's kind of been, I think, what most people thought Iowa would be. But again, like, Iowa was a very average team, below average team last year, and they lost their best player.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
You still think there's a chance for addition by subtraction, but
right, that didn't happen. Right. But is it really shocking that they're not that good? Like, just if I make that statement, a average at best team loses their best player, are they going to improve?
Because, you know, Fran McCaffrey has been competitive the last
four years
beyond this year, or beyond, like, coming into the Big Ten, even though he still was somewhat competitive when he started in the league. This is the worst I've seen his teams play it's just bad. Like, they turn it over. They're not good offensively. They have talent too. It's not like they don't have talent.
What league is worse, the Pac-12 or the Big Ten?
Do I have to choose? I'm going to say Pac-12.
I agree with that.
Arizona State, Arizona.
There you go. Are you buying or selling Arizona?
I'm selling. Did you read Sean Miller's statement?
Yeah, that was weird.
That was really weird.
I'm switching though. I'm buying them.
I'm still going to sell. I'm not going to switch. But I just you could easily buy because of who they have.
Right. What about Kentucky? Are you buying or selling Kentucky?
Ooh, I watched that whole Kentucky-Tennessee game.
That was.
I'm selling this Kentucky team. There's something about them that doesn't feel like other Kentucky teams that I've watched.
All right. Are you buying or selling them as a second weekend team?
Man, I'd even sell that too.
See, I think Sweet 16 feels right for
this team. Sweet 16 is the plateau for this team.
See, I think, to me, it's like the plateau. Like, this could be a Final Four team if they play the way they played the first half at Tennessee. Or it could be a first weekend loss team if they play the way the second half at Tennessee.
That's why I'm just meeting in the middle, because a team like that who's that inconsistent is usually going to be a team that finds their way out of the tournament.
Right. But how many inconsistent teams are there, right? Like,
there are so many.
Teams have to win. And, like, two teams play, one has to advance.
But I guess, again, you've spoken to this a lot. This is one of the younger.
It's the youngest.
Yeah, the youngest Kentucky team. So that's another reason why. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like they've been so dominating and just been inconsistent at times. They've been too inconsistent along with their spurts of domination that they've.
Here's, I will say, the one reason I'm willing to buy them is they're starting to figure out their roles a little bit, right? Like, PJ Washington is kind of – what'd you say there?
They actually shoot the ball better than I thought they would this year.
Yeah, a little bit.
Green shoots it well.
Wenyen Gabriel's been shooting the ball very well this year.
PJ Washington has been good inside.
PJ Washington has become the leader of this team, which is what they need. They needed somebody to step up and be the vocal leader in the locker room and on the court. And he's kind of been that, which is why I'm upset that we saw the second half with him injured for most of it, just because of how well he played the first half.
He was the only reason why they were in the game most of the game. Like, as soon as he got hurt in the second half, they had no one who could.
Well, that, and then it was like right when that happened, Gabriel fouled out, and then, like, Kalea Jones had three fouls. It was just a mess. Like, right when that happened, it was like, all right, Tennessee is going to blow this game open.
I really do like Tennessee. I like that team.
I feel weird about that team because, again, they're 1-2 in conference play. Like, if they would have lost that, like, that was a desperate team last night, right? Like, playing at home against a, quote, rival. Like, if you lose that, you go 0-3, and Tennessee's, like, back to firmly on the bubble.
Yeah, going from ranked 23rd to on the bubble.
Right. And it's just, you know, I like Grant Williams a lot. He's a really good player.
Schofield's what a monster.
Yeah, like, they have the tools, but I don't know. There's just something, like, they rely on just out-athleting you and out-toughing you that I don't know how far that translates.
I mean, we said bubble, but, like, that Purdue win looks really good on their resume on top of all the SEC teams that they can potentially beat at home. So I think they get in the tournament. And I don't know. Who do you think the front runner is for SEC then?
It's Auburn right now.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Alabama, no. Arkansas, no. Tennessee, too bad of a start. A&M, way too far behind. Kentucky, you know,
But Kentucky's schedule does not set up fair for them. Like, fair is not the right word because everything's fair. It doesn't set up favorable for them because they have A&M twice, they have Florida twice, they had to go to Tennessee, they have to go to Arkansas, I think, and they have to go to Auburn, I believe. So it's like they just got the bad luck of the draw with the unbalanced schedule.
Ooh, we haven't even talked about the Big East yet.
Because the Big East is good. Like, I really like the Big East.
I love the Big East. I love Seton Hall. I love Seton Hall. That game was awesome. They went into Hinkle, and Kadeem Carrington just like nutted all over Butler.
Can I flock my feathers a little bit here? I had them 11 in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, we talked. You were really high on them. Yep. I was intrigued by them. Yep.
That was the one team. Them and Xavier in the Big East were the two teams that I was really high on. Higher on than most people, I would say.
Let's talk about Xavier for a second.
I'm still buying them as a Final Four contender.
I agree, but I feel like they played to the level of competition too much.
A little bit. I think that's a fair assessment. But again, the loss at Providence. I'm not going to overreact and call it a bad loss or anything like that, because again, you had a Providence team desperate for a win. Had a really good home court advantage, and on the flip side, if you
perfect storm game,
and if you want to spin zone it for Xavier, they had a chance to win with Trayvon Blewett not scoring in the second half.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
that's the spin zone.
That's a good spin zone. It just, to me, there's just something lacking with them. Like,
it's
they kicked the crap out of Cincinnati, and I was like, you know what? I think that Xavier team is why they could go to the Final Four, but they don't play like that all the time. Sometimes they play lackadaisical, and they rely on just their talent to bring them back in the games, and it does, but that's not a good way to build.
No, that's how you lose to a 10 seed.
Exactly. So I don't know. I would just like to see them be more confident and play better more consistently, especially against teams that they know they should beat. Like DePaul, another good example. Yeah. I knew they were going to win that game, but they need to win by 25.
Yeah, but it's also one of those, like, I think the one thing people kind of forget about when you talk about college basketball is you're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids who are used to being the best and just, kind of stepping out and exceeding. So when you play a team like DePaul, who's an improved team, but you see DePaul and you know DePaul, that it's simply, DePaul's typically a team that you can just do whatever and you're still winning by 12.
Yep.
I think it's something more like that where it's just more of a mental thing. But I agree. It is a little concerning that they play to the talent. But again, I really like this roster makeup, man. Like, Trayvon Blewett's an All-American.
Quentin Gooden, just a solid point guard.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he can't shoot. Like, if he could shoot the ball.
He had 2 threes last game.
Yeah,
he was like 2-3 in the first half.
He was shooting like 9% heading into that.
And he's like a 90% free throw shooter. I don't get it.
That's the other reason I really like the Xavier team, especially the Final Four contender, is if they are winning games late in the game,
it's hard to
come back.
They're
going to close you out.
Because they can shoot free throw so well.
Right. So that's the one big piece for me. And the fact that it's everybody on the team. Like, they don't really have a weak free throw shooter.
How Cincinnati is this? They're up 14, shooting 27% from the field in the first half.
Yeah, I was all over Cincinnati minus 7 today. After bounce back game after Temple.
Yeah, that was ugly. Good
win,
though.
What's your thoughts on Cincinnati? Because they're quietly putting together a bunch of wins in a row since the Xavier and Florida back-to-back losses. They obviously haven't lost since. Probably should have lost to Temple, but they pulled out the win. All credit to them.
That's what I'm saying. They did what they were supposed to do, but we've talked about how bad this middle of the conference has been for this league.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was just hoping they would be a little bit more like Wichita State in the domination of teams in their conference. I'm not saying Wichita State has done this year in this conference. I just thought they would just totally grab all these teams by the balls.
Remember how somebody bet us $100 that they'd have a top 30 offense?
Yeah.
They're ranked 50th right now.
And it's going to drop after this game, I promise you.
I still think they'll probably end up about 40, if I had to guess.
Do you think they make the Sweet 16?
It's going to depend on matchups. Like, they should. They should make a Sweet 16. Like, I think that the fact that they can defend, they have the athletic wings. Kane Broome is coming back from an ankle injury. He's playing tonight, but obviously I don't know how close to 100% he is. He's already has 2 fouls, so we're not going to see, a lot from him there. But, this team should be a Sweet 16 team, right? But I feel like they're very matchup dependent. And I'm curious to see what the committee does with them. Just because, like, we've seen them disrespect the American, or really what they thought of the American. Like, them and SMU were both six seeds last year. If Cincinnati's a six seed again this year.
After they lost to Xavier, like, someone had them as, like, a 10 or 11. And I was like, you know what? Like, I could see that happening.
That's because they had a pretty shitty non-conference. Like, they just didn't play anybody. They got the win over Mississippi State, which is looking better and better. Like, Mississippi State's going to be I think Mississippi State will be in an NIT team, but look closer to the bubble than not. They got the win at UCLA, which could look really good. It looked really good for a week when they beat Kentucky.
What about UCLA? Are you buying them to make the tournament?
I think they make the tournament. I think they're going to end up being – I think four teams get in from the Pac-12.
The two Arizonas, UCLA, and who else?
And UCLA. And USC.
Oh, USC.
I think those four end up getting in.
The two Southern Cal teams. Like,
the two LA teams and the two Arizona teams.
Yeah, the four teams in the nicest, warmest spots in the country.
Right. So, Cincinnati, but yeah, you know, the one thing I will give them credit for is while their offense has fallen apart, but has stepped back, the defense has stepped up. Like,
yeah, they're going to be in every game.
They're going to defend the shit out of you. Like, they have, outside of Michigan State, they're the best two-point defensive team in the country because they're physical, they challenge you at the rim.
They might be the best team after tonight.
No, I mean, Michigan State's two-point percentage was like, defense was so
it was so like 5% better than second place. It was stupid high.
But that's something that Cincinnati can bank on is just, okay, well, we can hold teams to, you know, under 70 points a game for the most part. And if that happens, then, okay, all we have to do is score 65 and we win. It's a little dangerous way to play, but it's something that I think Cincinnati can get to the Sweet 16 with.
Yeah, I mean, it's 34-20 right now at halftime, or maybe 34-22 if you make
34-20 at half. Unless his half court shot goes in.
34-20 at half, unless he makes his half quarter, which he didn't. 34-20 at half, they're going to win 63-50.
I think it's going to be like 70-56.
And I picked my numbers as like, that's worst case scenario for them.
Right.
That would mean SMU scores 30 in the second half, which if you scored 20 against them, I have a hard time finding out that you will be able to get easy buckets and score 30 in the second half on Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, SMU can really shoot the ball, though. That's the one thing that they can do. But, yeah, Cincinnati, you know, it's I'm excited to see them play Wichita State twice. Just because the Americans – I mean, SMU on the road is a lot different than SMU at home. Temple – stinks. They scored 45 points today against Central Florida.
Central Florida, who's not good.
Central Florida, like, obviously they had PJ Taylor injured throughout the year and Dawkins, Aubrey Dawkins injured. So it's like, you know, I think they should have been better than what they are. But, yeah, they're not a tournament team. Houston has been okay. I think they can be a tournament team. If I set the over-under at 3.5 for the American, are you taking over-under to get in?
You know, at some point, like, one of these, you just got to say over. But I would say under for this one, and then just more bids for the Big 12 and the SEC.
Yeah.
And the Big East. Like, the Big East. Do you think Marquette's a tournament team?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're going to catch teams.
They're going to catch teams at home.
Just because how they shoot. So I'm pulling up Marquette right now. I want to take a look at their – so they're 11-5. They have lost to at Villanova, home to Xavier, home to Georgia, which that loss isn't going to look as bad. But that's the win that they needed to have. If they would have won that, I would have been a lot more confident in them. And the neutral court losses to Wichita State and a home loss to Purdue. So no bad loss. Now their wins aren't great. Like, they have the neutral court on VCU, neutral court against LSU, which is looking better and better. Home to Vermont, which looks like, you know, Vermont should win the America East. That's a tournament team win. At Wisconsin, which right now is still an A win on KenPom because it's a road win.
Yeah, Wisconsin is right now it's going to look good, but who knows? I mean,
the way KenPom does, though, like, he factors in road there. So even if they fall to 100. Like, it's still going to be an A or B win, depending on wherever Wisconsin falls to.
Oh, man, I don't want to talk about them right now.
Well, that's because they stink.
Yeah, keep going. I want to know their
Marquette
schedule.
Marquette is 1, 2, 3. They're 4-4 in A/B games on KenPom.
So they need to get that to, 7-5?
Well, I mean, they're going to play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They have 13 more A/B games left.
And they play. They still have to play Seton Hall at home.
They're next on Tuesday. They play Seton Hall at home. Then they go to Butler on Friday.
Ooh, Tuesday? Oh, I'm not. I was going to say I might be in Milwaukee. I would go to that.
Like, if they can split that, Seton Hall, Butler, they're fine. And then you get DePaul at home. So if you go 2-1, I think if Marquette goes 500 in Big East play, depending on how the 9 they get,
fine. It just seems tough for me to put faith in that right now.
I mean,
they just don't defend. They do not defend.
No, they don't.
I don't know. I'm still selling it, even though I really like watching them play.
I think they get in, you know, just because you have to fill up the slot somehow.
Pick your Final Four right now.
Villanova, Michigan State, Xavier, West Virginia.
I'm going to go Villanova, Michigan State as well. Virginia.
I debated them.
And I was going to say maybe West Virginia.
I debated Virginia, West Virginia, Texas Tech.
I do like Tech. They defend so well.
Yeah, and they're good enough offensively that they can.
Yeah, they do have some. Did we even pick any SEC teams there?
No, because – what
they
SEC
just
team
beat up on each other.
Well, and yeah, which one do you feel super confident in saying that's a Final Four team?
None. I just think there's a lot of good teams. I don't feel like one can make like is that good. But history would say that they're going to get one.
They should. I mean, they're going to have enough chances. Like, they're probably going to have 7 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's funny you said West Virginia because I just watched a highlight of them and I was like, I wonder if he'll say West Virginia.
Because they still get Issa Ahmad back.
Oh yeah,
and like they can score in the half court. Like Teddy Allen has been a really good freshman for them that's starting to score more and more. James
they got
Bolden,
size.
They have size. James Bolden can shoot the ball. Javon Carter shooting the ball. Daxter Miles obviously is a veteran that can score. I really like this West Virginia team.
See, in a perfect world, that makes a lot of sense. But I have a feeling probably only one of those will make the Final Four this year.
Oh, for sure. Like, we're going to get 0 of them right. But
no.
It all depends on matchups. Like, it's just banking. Like, who do I think – I mean, so I tweeted this question out. How many true national title contenders do you think there are right now?
To me, it's still 2 to me in Nova and Michigan State. Just with my eye test, like going outside KenPom, going outside any metrics, going outside the fact that Michigan State just lost by 15 on the road to Ohio State, I still look at them when I watch them play and I'm like, okay, that is a team that's built to win in the NCAA tournament. They play such good defense that travels well. They have shooting this year. Josh Langford and Cassius Winston, the team shoots above 40% from 3. They defend well. Like, to me, no one else can do what they can do. They can win in the half court. They can win in a foot race. And then Nova's just so efficient offensively. And I just trust Jay Wright's teams now that they got off the hump of winning that national championship.
See, I think they're about 8 national title contenders. Villanova, Michigan State, I think.
Well, hang on. Wouldn't you say that is the tier 1 of the title contenders?
Yes. But I think there are like 8 true national title contenders, with the favorites being Villanova and Michigan State.
Okay, then can we agree on West Virginia?
West Virginia.
Virginia.
Virginia. Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. What about Arizona? I know that sounds weird. Debated buying or selling them.
You know what? I still trust them. I'm willing to put them there.
They still haven't lost back in the States, have they?
Yeah, because they lost yesterday.
Oh, they lost to Colorado. Duh.
All right, so I'm willing to throw West Virginia, Virginia, Texas Tech. I'm willing to throw Oklahoma just because of Trae Young.
Just because of Trae Young, like being able to make a run.
Right. And the fact that they're really
– They're good, too.
Yeah. I'm willing to throw Xavier. I'm buying Xavier.
I had them in before the season. I'm off of them right now, but they can still sway me right back to falling in love
and
with them.
The reason I'm putting Xavier there is Chris Mack and Trayvon Blewett. Like Chris Mack.
What about Seton Hall? Would you say they're?
I'm tempted to. Right. Like the question for them coming into the year was, can they shoot the ball? They beat Butler by shooting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Angel Delgado, who's a monster. I would
prefer, you guys hit some big threes.
I would prefer to never have to try to block out Angel Delgado.
No.
Like, no thank you. But yeah, like.
So those three Big East teams, the one Big Ten team, three Big 12 teams, and then if you had to choose an SEC team as a title contender, who would you choose?
I would.
You can't say Auburn.
No. I would still. I'm tempted to say Kentucky just because they have the ability to be that hot. But if Texas A&M is that, if you're telling me Texas A&M has a full roster, I'd pick Texas A&M as my SEC team to be a title contender.
All right, I'm with you on that. And it's funny we both thought Kentucky.
Well, just because you like.
Yeah, we allude to the talent level it takes to do something like that.
Right, and the fact they have a coach that has got to.
Done it before.
Yeah, and knows how to. I've had multiple former players from Kentucky tell me everything Calipari does is for March.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen any Mountain West team play, but every time I look at the scores, Nevada is kicking ass.
I love Nevada. They have athleticism. Like they run an NBA offense. Musselman's a good coach. Jordan Caroline's a really good player. The Martin twins. They can shoot the ball. They have high major talent. Like Kendall Stevens and the Martin twins are obviously transfers. So they have and Hallis Cook. Like they have high major talent. They like if they made a Sweet 16, I wouldn't bat an eye at it.
No, not at all. Based off what I've seen. What about North Carolina?
No, I mean, I was down on North Carolina before the year started. I don't know if I'm going to have them in my top 25.
That's right? Fair.
They are look at what they've done.
Luke May regressing a little bit.
Over the last month, they've had one really good game. That was beating Ohio State. They should have lost to Tennessee. Like, that took a dumb Tennessee turnover and a very tough Kenny Williams three. And then Wake Forest, Wake kind of imploded down the stretch and it took a Joel Berry floater for them to win those games. Otherwise they would have lost five of the last six.
Yeah. They're just not, they're a good team. They're not great.
Yeah, again, I feel like this is a second weekend team. I'm not going to have them any further, even on matchups. Joel Berry's a hell of a player, but I don't Kenny Williams has made good strides. I just don't trust this team.
Yeah, Theo Pinson, he's a liability offensively.
Right. So it's they're 1-2 in conference play. They still have to go at Notre Dame, at Virginia Tech, at Clemson, at North Carolina State, at Louisville, at Syracuse, at Duke, and then you have home games against Miami, Notre Dame, Duke, NC State.
Notre Dame.
Hey, who knows when Farrell comes back? Who knows when Colson comes back?
Yeah.
That Notre Dame game on February 12th, maybe Notre Dame's at full strength. Notre Dame, I mean, Mike Bray is one of the best coaches in America for a reason. Like, without Farrell, without Colson, and trailing early, he still goes
still
into
find a way.
Still goes to the Carrier Dome and gets a win. And they're playing the old school Notre Dame way, which is ugly and sucks. They just take the air out of the ball, like dribble around.
He's a smart coach. He knows what he's got to do.
One of the best coaches in America. One of the best coaches in America. All right, let's wrap up with this. What teams have been the most disappointing to you this year?
What teams have been the most D word this year? Oh man.
And I think there's different tiers. Like USC has been wildly disappointing, but that's because of the FBI investigation. So I feel like there's different ways to look at it. Like FBI investigation and injuries are why I'm disappointed in Louisville, USC, Providence.
How about freaking Auburn? Like they were in the heat of this and they're
I almost want them to win out. So
yeah.
Bruce Pearl has to be voted like Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year or something, right? Just to rub it on one's face. It's disappointing to me, Northwestern. I wasn't high on them last year, but you're still hoping a team like that made the tournament after that big run.
At least be an 8 seed again.
Yeah, like at least make the tournament. They've been really disappointing. Minnesota's now going to disappoint me.
Yep.
From a lot of levels.
Maryland has been wildly disappointing to me.
Maryland has been. We all had high hopes for them. I'm going to switch over to the ACC for a second. I kind of want to say Duke so far.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Wake Forest has been disappointing to me just because that backcourt is so good that they shouldn't be losing the games that they've lost.
Vanderbilt's been disappointing. I thought they'd be a little bit more competitive than what they've been.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'll tell you what, going back to the ACC, Clemson has been wildly impressive.
Yeah, they have. They got a nice overtime win.
They have. They're similar to Auburn, where they have one loss. It came early in the year on a neutral court to Temple.
Disappointing. I'm trying to think. Like, I know I'm forgetting someone that I'm like, huh.
I think Texas has been a little disappointing.
Texas has been, for sure.
Baylor a little bit.
I wasn't big on Baylor. I'm not a big Scott Drew guy.
I think he's done. I think he is the best. I mean, he's done the best job at rebuilding a program ever.
Yeah, they just plateau every year at the Sweet 16.
I mean, that's fine, but, like, Baylor was never that.
I know. I'm just saying, like, they've never made the next jump.
Right, right. Oregon has been wildly disappointing to me.
They still have a chance.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they? Because they play I bet
their percentage is, like, 40% to make it.
Because Oregon right now is projected to finish 9-9 in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and that's not going to cut it.
And they have losses to Connecticut, Boise State, Oregon State, Utah. Like their wins are, they've two top 100 wins, and I bet you couldn't guess who they are.
No, I couldn't.
Because it's DePaul and Fresno State.
Surprised DePaul's in the top 100. No, DePaul's been better.
DePaul's 94. Yeah.
Making DePaul jokes.
Right.
Okay, that was an ugly free throw. Man. I'm going to think of this as soon as like I watch someone play. I've been disappointed in them.
I'm just like, can I just say the whole Big Ten?
Yes, the whole Big Ten.
The whole Big Ten. This is wildly disappointing. I don't know what, like, I don't know when the Big Ten is going to get better either.
Ohio State's been surprisingly, like, good. Like, I mean, like, and they've like not faltered by any means. Like they needed a big win. That was the only thing that I could knock on them was, you know, they blew that Butler lead. They couldn't beat UNC. It's like, they need a good caliber win. They got that now. So now I think they're legit.
Yeah. They have, let's see what Ohio State's. You're right. They have a weird, cause they're 12-4. Their losses came to Gonzaga in a blowout. Butler, which they blew, Clemson and UNC. Like, that Clemson loss is looking better, but that's a home loss. Their wins They didn't have a top 100 win in the non-conference.
Yep, so then it was Michigan and Michigan State, which was good
Michigan,
to help.
Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, and Wisconsin are now their top four. Are there four top 100 wins?
Iowa beat Colorado. Colorado beat Arizona. Iowa greater than?
Yeah, right. I love when people do that. Like, people are like, well, we beat this. Like, and I heard a lot from Purdue fans where I'm like, you know, I think Arizona's a better team. They're like, well, we won by 25. It's like, all right, well, then is Western Kentucky better than you guys?
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to look at the overall body work.
Right, right. So it's, to me, like, that's what I'm going to get pissed off about when a day people comes out, because people will be so overreactionary to 1 week. And it's like, no, you can look at the season as a whole now.
And especially when they do the, like, you know, look at Saturday and Sunday's games and then discount what happened during the week. Like,
right,
you just
like if Cincinnati wins this game, are they going to go from 19 to like 5 because everybody lost?
Yeah, I don't know, but if they lost, you know, they would then be 30 and
right,
probably not
getting
votes.
But it's, I mean, well, polls are dumb just to begin with, but it's been. Well, who are your All-Americans right now?
My All-Americans right now, Jalen Brunson.
Yep.
I wanted to say.
Obviously, Trae Young.
Who?
Obviously,
well,
Trae
yeah,
Young.
Obviously, Trae Young. I wanted to, like, for Michigan State, I wanted to kind of say Nick Ward, but, like,
he's
sucked today.
He's been terrible the last couple games, too.
Well, he shot, like, the last, like, three games, he was shooting, like, 90% from the floor. But I knew he wouldn't be able to keep that up. Bagley.
Yeah.
Just because he's been so good offensively, as bad as he's been defensively.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bagley, Young. Who else did I just say before that? Oh, Jalen Brunson. Has been awesome. Bridges has been so disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's been really good, but he's not a first-team All-American right now.
No. Trey Holder?
I don't think
play
that's...
play into there if he stays with his numbers?
I don't think that's hot takey at all.
And then I need one more. I'm going to think of my last one.
I'm going to go Brunson, Young, Trayvon Blewett, Bagley, and... I kind of want to throw Mikal Bridges on there, but I don't
know. Mikal Bridges has been awesome.
I know.
It's just so hard to put two.
Javon Carter. I mean, if I can have three guards, a forward and a center.
You could have three guards. I mean,
I would go Javon Carter as my fifth.
I think his numbers wouldn't, like, say first team All-American, but if he could lead his team into, like, a regular season title or like a tournament title, I think it's justified.
Yeah, I think that I would go Javon Carter, Brunson, Young, Bagley, Blewett.
That's fair. I can't really think of anyone else, like, off the top of my head, so I'm pretty confident with all those.
Yeah. And then I would debate, like, I'd listen to debates for Keenan Evans from Texas Tech, DeAndre Ayton, even Alonzo Trier, Trey Holder.
I'd put Ayton before Trier.
Well, I'm just saying, like, these are guys, if you threw one of them in there, I wouldn't, like, argue about it. Mikal Bridges. Yeah, it's been one hell of a start to the season, that's for sure.
Do you think Porter comes back?
No.
No? No. Just putting the kibosh on that?
I mean, unless there's something else going on out there. How about that ending? Wisconsin fans love seeing Chris Chioza again.
Nightmares, man. Nightmares.
That was – I got to go with Missouri fans because when I said that and they were like, well, the refs let him back into it. I'm like, yeah, like, they blew a call, but guess what? It was still tied. You still had a chance to win, and then you threw it away.
Yeah.
And the refs, like, didn't hold you to 10 points less 8.5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that was on them. Florida, disappointing, I'd say.
Yeah, that's fair. They're just so goddamn streaky. Like, one Florida team shows up.
Don't let them get hot.
Like, that's the thing. Like, when they're hot, they're one of the best teams in the country. When they're not, they're barely an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of guys, volume shooters, jacking up shots, and don't really have anything else to hang their heads on.
Right. All right, so let's get out of there with that. Anything else?
That's it for now.
All right, follow the show, Fundamentally SD. Follow both of us on Twitter. We will be back later this week. And again, you'll be listening to us every Sunday night, Monday morning, and then Thursday night, Friday morning. We'll talk to everybody later.